is the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Sitting in for Dr. Mohler today, Russell Moore. Dr. Moore is Dean of the School of Theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and Director of the Carl Henry Institute for Evangelical Engagement. Now, here's your host for today, Dr. Russell Moore.
Welcome to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Dr. Mohler, who is in California speaking at the Shepherd's Conference at Grace Community Church. Those of you who are in Los Angeles are well aware of that big conference every year and what's going on there. Today, I want to talk about pop culture, and I want you to join me in thinking through an issue that really is a little more difficult for Christians than we have sometimes wanted to think. I remember being a seventh grader in my youth group, listening to albums being played backwards by our youth minister. So he would take the album, whatever was popular at the time, and playing it backwards, and we would listen to wah, 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 wah. And he would say, here, listen to that. Don't you hear it? It's saying, Satan wants you to kill your mother. Let's play it again. Wah, 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 wah. And after so many times of listening to this, we would finally say, yeah, you know, I think I can hear that saying, Satan wants me to kill my mother. Well, really, is there something more to Christian engagement with pop culture than that? I mean, what about analyzing what's on the front side of the songs and the films and the television shows? And even more than that, what does popular culture tell us about the world? What does popular culture tell us about the kind of longings for the gospel that we might see out there in the world around us that might cause us to proclaim the gospel even better? And I think when you look around at popular culture, what you can see right now is both tremendous creativity and tremendous depravity. And so often, I think what Christians have wanted to do is one of two things. We either want to have kind of a little scorecard with anything in popular culture to make sure as long as there are no curse words or naked ladies in it, then it's okay with us. But often, there is a worldview present in popular culture that is far more subtle than naked ladies and cuss words. And I think often we don't equip Christians to be able to think through, as they're seeing pop culture images all around us, how do we interpret them? I'd like for you to join the conversation today at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And I want you to help me think through, how are Christians engaging pop culture? Are we doing a good job with that? Are we being, on the one hand, too isolated from what's going on in pop culture? Or, on the other hand, are we just adapting to it and becoming just like whatever is out there in popular culture? Give us your thoughts at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And I would specifically like to know, some of you in your churches, in your congregations, in your ministries, how are you equipping people to evangelize a world that is influenced by reality television and Jessica Simpson and all of the movies coming out with the Baldwin brothers? I mean, how are you equipping your people and your congregations to think like Christians in a world that is so influenced by popular culture? Give us a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and let us know what you see happening out there and what particularly do you think we can be doing to engage popular culture in movies, in films, in television shows, in music, in all different kinds of ways with a Christian worldview. I really think this is an important issue today precisely because pop culture is so important in contemporary America. There's a book that's recently been written by Joseph Heath and Andrew Potter called Nation of Rebels, Why Counterculture Became Consumer Culture. And what they're saying is you look back and you see the rebellion, kind of the hippie culture of the 1960s, and you see the way in which pop culture has kind of taken the hippie rights rebellion of Woodstock of the 1960s and merged it with the consumerism of the 1980s. And really, what you have left is a consumer culture, not really a counterculture at all. And we're all affected by what's going on in pop culture. I mean, that is simply the case. You can't shelter yourself out from pop culture. It doesn't matter if you have taken a shotgun and blown the screen out of your television, or if you don't listen to the radio, you still have pop culture all around us. How are we going to analyze it like Christians? And how are we going to keep from becoming captive to it? And that frankly is what concerns me about the way that Christians are engaging pop culture right now. There's an article in GQ magazine last month that is talking about this secular reporter who goes to a Christian music festival. And he really sums up our Christian music in this way. He says, you know, when you go into a gas station and you can put your quarter in and get an off-brand of a cologne, so that the machine says, if you like Calvin Klein, you'll really love fake Calvin Klein. He says, well, that's what Christian music is. That's what Christian pop culture is. You take whatever is popular out there, and you take people who can't do it quite as well, and you do it just a little bit worse, but it's got the name of Jesus in it. Now, is that really the way that we are engaging popular culture right now as Christians? And should that be the way that it is? Why is it that the Christian church is not the center of creativity? Instead, what we have are Christian Harlequin romance novels and Christian boy bands and Christian fill in the blank, instead of coming along and really creating something that is genuine and something that is excellent. Why is that? Give us a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and let us know how you think we ought to be engaging popular culture. What are you parents doing in terms of equipping your teenage children to think through the lyrics of songs, to think through the content of television programs, to think through the meaning of films? I mean, often there are so many Christian parents who just don't know what to do in terms of popular culture. I was preaching at a church this weekend and had a mom who came up to see me who said, you know, I feel very, very guilty for watching Seinfeld with my children all through their high school years, and I don't know if that's something I ought to feel guilty about or not. Well, you Christian parents out there, and you Christians who are equipping Christian parents out there, how do you suggest that we equip parents and church leaders to equip teenagers and others to really evaluate pop culture? Or do you simply say to them, don't have anything to do with it, flee from it? And frankly, I think one of the ways that we so often engage this issue is to say, don't have anything to do with the secular world. Instead, listen to the Christian version of everything. And frankly, I have some real concerns about the way that pop culture is impacting us as Christians. You think about some of the music that we listen to, for instance, in which you will have Jesus presented almost as the lover of the individual, so that you've got Christian boy bands and Christian girl bands, whatever you want to call them, singing to Jesus, often in very sensual and erotic ways, and often sometimes in ways that are just downright schlocky. What do you think? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Christian creativity in terms of popular culture is actually quite good. Give us a call and let us know what you think at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. One of the things that I think is a persistent problem in terms of Christian engagement with pop culture is that so often we see pop culture as being the judge of us. So that you think of, for instance, those who really make it in Christian music. What is the perennial temptation? It's to cross over and to become mainstream. And so that you have Christian musicians who no matter what is happening, if they are really succeeding, they're going to have the contracts coming in and saying, let's cross over. Now, maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that's a bad thing. And often these Christian groups will say, well, this will give us a better opportunity for ministry because we can minister in the mainstream of popular culture as Christians. Do any of you see that working? Do you see that kind of crossover effect of Christians in the mainstream of pop culture who are actually having an impact? Let me know. I'd like to hear about it. 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Maybe there is a particular group or some particular people who actually are having an impact in pop culture, maybe even some film writers, some screenwriters, some movie producers, some television producers, some actors in mainstream pop culture, maybe some groups, maybe some Christian groups who have gone over, crossed over into mainstream pop culture, who you think are really able to engage the culture. Let us know. And maybe some of you as parents have some ideas for what we're to do training our children to really think through this issue of pop culture. How do they evaluate it as Christians? And how do we look at pop culture and say, what does this tell us about people for whom Christ died? Give us a call at 877-893-TALK. 877-893-8255 and join the conversation. And we're going to talk about Jesus and popular culture. What's the church to do? This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
Sometimes, when the world gets so cold, in my heart, it's 15 below, and I feel like I'm so far from home, I run to you.
This is what happens, people, when Christians are raptured out of the Backstreet Boys band. We have here Plus One singing a song, I Run to You, talking about, I assume talking about Jesus. What do you think? Is this the way that we're to engage pop culture? Christian boy bands, Christian hip-hop groups, Christian romance novels, Christian whatever. And how can we do it in a way that's really authentic and really reaches people in pop culture? Give us a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And I especially want to hear from you parents who have some ideas. How is it that you equip and you teach teenagers and college students to actually evaluate pop culture in a way that they can think through these issues as Christians? More than just, you know, you get the little program to bleep out all of the cuss words out of the movie. How do you train teenagers who are able to watch a movie and to say, okay, I can see the worldview that's being communicated there, and I know whether or not that resonates with the truth of the gospel or not? Give us a call at 877-893-TALK and let us know. We have Scott on the line who is listening on WHK. Scott is in Ohio. And Scott, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program. Scott, are you with us? Scott is gone. So we have also listening in the Cleveland area on WHK, David. David, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thanks so much. How are you today?
Doing great.
Good. Yeah, I just wanted to interject something. I've been in pretty much into hip hop, since I was really young. And,
yeah.
Now, recently, in the last 4 or 5 years, what I've gotten into is the Christian hip hop scene, the underground Christian hip hop scene.
Yeah.
And you know, a lot of what they're doing is not just, you know, interjecting God's name, Christ's name in here and there.
Mm-hmm.
When I play this for my friends that aren't saved, what they're really amazed is how they're able to articulate themselves without cursing,
mm-hmm.
without just talking about making money,
mm-hmm.
without just talking about, you know, this girl or that girl, but they're able to paint a picture through words and beats that not only can they see is better than what they're listening to, because it's not all superficial,
yeah.
But it also hits home with them, because a lot of these guys, you know, grew up in the streets, went through the same things. And it gets them another opportunity to see people that are like-minded or went through situations that they went through that were able to take another perspective of it and still hold a positive view. And there's some great groups.
In your experience, David, are you still there?
Sure, a lot better.
In your experience, are these Christian hip-hop groups actually able to connect with hip-hop culture outside of the Christian subculture?
Absolutely, and I think the real reason is because people that listen to hip-hop, and I'm not just talking like the mainstream, but when you really start getting into hip-hop and people that really are into it for the art, what they want is content. They
yeah.
want somebody to be able to paint a mental picture using words, rhymes, and beats,
mm-hmm.
but to be able to do it with eloquence. I mean, you listen even to some of the guys that are out there today versus 10 or 15 years back, how complex the rhymes are.
Yeah.
Are really changing. And the great thing with Christian hip hop is not only can they create complex rhymes, they don't need to swear every 2 seconds or 3 seconds to do that and to bring that point across.
Yeah.
So they can really appreciate the mental abilities of these performers.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, David, that you actually have some real creativity going on in Christian hip hop, and I find that as a welcome development. I have a student here who actually does some Christian rap, and he gave me a CD of it, and I was kind of skeptical at first. I really thought it was going to be a born again version of Vanilla Ice or something like that. It was actually very good and very complex, and actually had a message and a theme there. I think the problem is it's not that hip hop necessarily is a vehicle through which the gospel can't be communicated. I think it's just that so often what we as Christians have done with pop culture is on the one hand we've said we don't want anything to do with pop culture. We want to instead just take whatever you're doing and do it 5 or 6 years later and do it quite a bit more poorly. And that seems to be the kind of pattern that we've been following. And that's a real problem. If we don't have within our churches people who are more discerning of what's being communicated in terms of pop culture, so that they're able to read it and to understand what's happening there, so that as they're able to dialogue with someone who really is captivated with pop culture, that they're able to speak and to have that language that you're talking about, I think that's so often missing. But what do you think? Give us a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. How are Christians to engage with pop culture? Parents, youth pastors, college ministers, how do you equip young Christians, maybe baby Christians, to really evaluate what's going on in terms of pop culture? Do you just simply tell them, don't turn the television on, don't listen to the radio, just listen to what we have for you in terms of Christian versions, or do you have a way to teach them how to evaluate pop culture? Give us a call at 877-893-8255 and join the conversation. We have Sam, who is listening in Shepherdsville, Kentucky. Sam, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Yes, it's getting to where you can't tell the church music from them this modern age music anymore.
How so?
Just this hip-hop stuff, just like you were just playing over there.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't walk into no church nowhere that they don't have it anymore.
So you're really bothered by some of the contemporary music
in
churches?
Yes, I am. You can't tell the difference between it.
Uh-huh.
You know, they tell us, I've been told, you know, they try to do that to get the young people in, you know?
Uh-huh.
I said, well, if they're going to go to the modern age stuff, well, first place, my Bible says train up a child in the way you should go. It don't say go down to their level.
Okay. Well, thanks for that comment, Sam. You know, I think that you probably share the same sentiments of a lot of people, but I really think that some of the battles that we have between traditional and contemporary styles of music really boil down to cultural preferences. And I see that in some churches that are just as impacted by culture in terms of music, but they're impacted by maybe 1950s culture or 1960s culture or 1970s culture, and they just don't genuinely see that. I was with a group of college students this past week who were singing, had a worship style that was very loud and was very contemporary, and yet it was far more Christ-centered and far more God-centered than anything that I grew up with in a traditional, typical Southern Baptist congregation singing gospel songs from the late 19th century. I don't think that the issue is if you just get it old enough, it's not going to be culturally affected. I think the question is, how are you really going to have a distinctive Christian witness in a way that actually speaks to people who speak a certain language that they pick up from their cultural environment? How are we going to do that? How do you equip teenagers to be able to read popular culture, to be able to, and by read, I don't mean read with their eyes, but to be able to see what's going on and to be able to evaluate it in terms of a Christian worldview? Or do we just simply say, well, that's just too tough, let's just do our Bible studies and not worry about pop culture? Give us a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and let's have a conversation. And what are we to do with our gifted Christians in the church who are gifted artistically? Do we encourage them to become Christian musicians? Or do we encourage them to be musicians who are Christian? Do we encourage them to be Christian movie makers or movie makers who are Christian? Give us a call at 877-893-TALK, and we'll take your calls. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. To the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. What's the frequency, Kenneth? REM asks. When you look out there and you're seeing reality, what are you seeing? I think that's the question that so much of pop culture is asking. And the question is, as Christians, are we really able to engage? Are we able to answer that question in the language of pop culture with an ancient gospel? And how do you do that without just becoming a cheap imitation of pop culture? Give us a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and join the conversation. We have on the line Nick, who is listening on WFIA. Nick, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
How are you doing?
Doing great.
Good, it's good. I'm really glad that you're addressing this issue, and it's something that I've wrestled with for quite some time as a Christian, a musician who happens to be Christian, and I really take heart to the words of C.S. Lewis, who said that we don't need more Christians who are writers, we just need more good writers that happen to be Christian.
Right.
And for me as a musician, I'm trying to figure out how I can engage culture and not retract from culture by forming into this Christian subculture.
Yeah. So how do you do that?
Well, you know, I think by writing really good music and writing really thought-provoking words and that are attractive. I think of Switchfoot, the band who has, I think, very, very good music. And
yeah,
they're in the world and they're making a difference. They're getting played on secular radio stations, and then people, teenagers, are having Switchfoot in the radios, and I think that makes a huge difference.
And it seems like Switchfoot has not had to really dumb down the message in order to get through to secular radio stations, because it seems, don't you think, that they're edgy enough with a Christian edginess that they can be that explicit?
Right. It's kind of like they're putting out a challenge to people that there is something that they need to seek for. It's kind of like they're creating a taste in their mouth, and that makes people thirsty for something. And I think that that's kind of what their goal is, to just kind of create a taste. Me, as my music is more introspective, kind of, let's take a look at your life. Let's take a look at how things are. Are you ready to make a change? Are you ready to make a difference? Just to kind of trigger that,
mm-hmm,
without leading them to some false gospel or something far out.
Yeah.
Sticking to the truth.
So, Nick, ultimately, in terms of your own ministry, what would it look like if you could kind of set the course of Providence as being a musician, engaging pop culture? Where would you see yourself?
Well, I'm studying right now to be a pastor at the seminary there. And
are you Nick Nye?
Yes.
Oh, well, great. All right. Well, I recommend Nick's website, nicknye.com, to all of you, and he really has some thought-provoking stuff on there. So welcome to the show. I didn't recognize you at first.
Oh, thank you. Well, I think my ultimate goal is to move to Seattle and plant a church out there, and I think kind of what I see as a musician as an opportunity to be in a bar and playing on Saturday night and playing a really good concert, the best I can do as a musician, and then afterwards just spend time talking to people. And I think when you just are there and just playing and you're not up there to preach a sermon and people are listening to your music and enjoying it, then you sit down with them afterwards, talk with them, and you say, well, I'm a pastor of so-and-so church and I'd like you to come. And that really puts, I think, shockwaves down, because they're like, oh, he's not, he's not your typical Christian musician.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, what do you think? Give us a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Does Nick have it right that you really, as a Christian, ought to engage pop culture by seeking excellence and by seeking to try to provoke questions that you can answer in a Christian way? Or is the way we've been doing it up till now really creating a Christian subculture that we can sell records and sell movies and sell television programs? Is that the way that we ought to go? We have Andrew, who is listening on WFIA. Andrew, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Hey, thanks for having my call. My comment is about how I think a lot of people who are claiming to be Christians, they might not be like really strong Christians or anything, but they're just using the hunger for good music that the Christian people have, and they're just taking advantage of that so that when they get famous, when the Christian people push their name up, then they go to like a secular record label. Hello. That's what they're using the Christians for.
Do you agree with Andrew that our Christian music industry and our Christian pop culture is really just using Christianity as a market until they can make it to the big time, which is the secular world? I mean, that's a serious charge. What do you think? And how do you think that parents and churches ought to equip a new generation of people, not just to evaluate pop culture, but actually to impact it? Give us a call at 877-893-8255. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and we'll continue the conversation with you in one moment. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program with Switchfoot playing some music in the background. Just been talking about Switchfoot as one group that's trying to engage pop culture from a Christian perspective while speaking the language of pop culture. How is it that we can equip teenagers and college students and young professionals who are able to engage pop culture in a way that still is explicitly Christian without just becoming a Christian subculture? Let us know. Give us a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and let us know maybe how you are equipping the next generation to do that, or maybe you're part of that generation that's gifted artistically like Nick Nye a few minutes ago. How do you do that? How do you use your gifts in a way that is both artistically creative and Christian and engages the culture around you? We want to know. We have on the line Mike, who is listening on WTBN in Riverview, Florida. Mike, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thanks, Dr. Moore. Yeah, I really resonated with what Nick said, and I've had the blessing to get saved at a Calvary Chapel church out there in California, and it was just your regular salt and potatoes kind of ministry where every Saturday night people were encouraged to share their music and whatnot and invite unbelievers, and the ministry just continued to blossom. But on top of that, there was never a sacrifice of the word. And I think where we need to start is in our churches of steadily teaching verse by verse through the word, mm-hmm. and obviously have a systematics course or something, you know, yeah. and a discipleship course that we can offer, you know, during Sunday school or something. But we need a good Bible teaching church that's very relevant without compromising on the gospel, not seeker-sensitive,
yeah.
but a hardcore exegetical church,
yeah.
and one that isn't afraid to tear down some of these traditions. Because, you know, I remember the in Geneva, they said that they were dancing Geneva jigs.
Yeah,
you know?
That's right.
And we need to be careful. Like another caller said that, you know, this is of the devil. I remember Chuck Smith was the only church in our neighborhood who let the hippies come in.
Because mm-hmm.
everybody was afraid about the carpet getting dirty with the, you know, no shoes. And they said, hey, this is where they belong.
Yeah.
And they encouraged them. They taught the word. And he said, healthy sheep beget sheep. And they encouraged these Christian concerts every Saturday night. But then they told them, look, go out and use these gifts in the culture. And they taught them to use the gifts that God gave them. And it just blossomed, and
yeah.
they took their hands off of it. And I mean, and every church that I've been in, it just blossoms and grows. And I've looked for a denominational church when I was you know, maybe not sure if Calvary Chapel was right for me, but I got so frustrated because there was a board for this and a board for that, and nobody wanted to do what the word said. Everything was like, well, we didn't do it this way before, and we didn't do it that, and their churches are dying.
Yeah.
And you know, and yet, and the, and you don't have to sacrifice the word to be faithful.
Yeah.
You know, you can go out there and reach the people. And you know, with Nick, I'd encourage him, if he's going to Seattle, I just moved from there, check out Mars Hill Church in Seattle. It's an amazing ministry, and I just encourage all these pastors to get into the Word and stay current. You know,
I think you're exactly right in terms of having a church that is both biblically solid and a church that knows how to understand the culture. That is absolutely crucial in order to have a faithful church. That has always been the case in the entire history of Christianity. And on the one hand, there's such a balancing act here. I think that you have on the one hand one group of people who are saying, let's be biblically faithful and let's not worry about interpreting the culture at all. And those are the churches you're talking about that are simply mired in a culture, but it's a culture of the 1950s. And then you have another group of churches that often say, let's be very relevant, let's reach pop culture, but they do that at the expense of being formed and shaped by the Word of God, and they wind up just aping whatever's going on in pop culture and really not being relevant at all in the end. So that's a very good point. We have on the line Christy, who is listening in Michigan on XM Radio. Christy, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you. I have a comment. I'm a parent of three teenage daughters, and
mm-hmm.
what I've tried to do is teach my daughters to respect themselves as women,
yeah.
and even when they listen to the secular hip-hop, because the rhymes and the beats, they're so clever, and I myself enjoy them.
Yeah.
But my daughters will say, Mom, those words are horrible. They're degrading women and things like that, and they'll
yeah.
turn them off themselves. So, you know, it goes back to just teaching your child what's right. We can't hype, you know, our children from the world,
right.
but you have to teach them to discern. And then the other thing about, you know, just from my own point of view, as far as the Christian rock and the Christian rap and things like that, you just need to be very, very careful that we're staying in biblical truth, because we are called to be different from the world.
Yeah.
You want to be careful your words are biblically correct.
Yeah.
That's the main thing. And so many kids don't really know the difference and wouldn't really know if they were listening, you know. And we are called to be a little bit different. We're called to be holy.
Yeah.
You know, would you want Christ sitting next to you while you were listening to that song? Would you feel comfortable? If you would, and you honestly would, then, you know, that's between you and God, I would say.
Yeah, and I think, Christy, one of the things that I struggle with is the fact that you have some musical forms that when they are then translated over to a Christian use, at least most of the time, they tend sometimes to trivialize the message of the gospel. I don't think it always has to be that case, but for instance, I'm a huge country music fan. But I can't stand most Southern gospel quartet music. I think it trivializes the gospel. And I almost, you know, it's kind of strange. Somebody asked me one day, how can you enjoy listening to Waylon Jennings and you really don't like listening to the Rocky Mountain Christian Brothers or whatever quartet group? Well, it's because something about the way in which so many of these groups use the medium tends to just trivialize the message. And I think we need to have people who are able to come in to all of these different forms and to give a message of the gospel that actually deals with reality the way that it is. And I think sometimes, frankly, some of the problems that we have with Christian pop music and Christian country music and Christian hip-hop is that these things are looking at the world as though there is no fall. And so sometimes you can really see an edgy, gritty, realistic view of reality, sometimes from pagans who don't even know what they're talking about. They simply know, I can diagnose what's wrong with the world, in a way that you turn on some Christian mimics of pop culture, and it just sounds like Kathy Lee Gifford. You know, everything's great and everything's wonderful, and we're just so happy that we're Christians. But that's not the way that the Bible looks at reality. The Bible looks at reality as creation groaning. Why doesn't our music do that? And our movies do that? And our television do that? This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. We're talking about Jesus and pop culture, and we will be back in a moment.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and that was the Beastie Boys who sing You've Gotta Fight for Your Right to Party, which is what Joseph Heath and Andrew Potter called the anthem of contemporary pop culture, even though that song, it's got to be 20 years old. It was playing when I was in high school, and actually junior high, I think, and it still, these authors say, represents that sense of a rebellion, but a rebellion not really against anything, not a rebellion against any sort of injustice. It's just a rebellion against nothing. How are we going to engage a pop culture like that with a gospel response that is faithful to Scripture and is also relevant to popular culture? We have Kevin, who is from Palm Harbor, Florida, listening on WTBN. Kevin, welcome to the Albert Mohler program.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. You know, Paul said that I am all things to all men, so, and I might save some. And, you know, when the organ was first brought into the church, it was a Carney instrument, and it... the stuff hit the fan, but they wanted to bring it into the church to draw people in. And now if you try to get an organ out of the church and bring in an electric guitar, then everybody says, oh, that's a tool of the devil.
Yeah.
And it's all, like you said, it was cultural. But I think what we need to do is do both. We need to encourage Christians to make Christian songs, but we also need to encourage them to engage the culture. Several years ago, I got some Christian hard rock, acid rock, and all this kind of stuff, and metal music for kids that were listening to the real stuff.
Yeah.
And just so that if they did their stuff in the church, I would give you this music as an alternative. And they didn't know it existed.
Yeah.
And, again, the church, when they found out that I was doing that, they were very upset about it. And I believe in engaging the culture and really trying to use our gifts and penetrate out there. We are not supposed to withdraw from the world. We're supposed to be the salt and get out there, but use the culture to our advantage.
Well, that's a good point, Kevin. I think the problem that I have is I would really like to see, rather than having Christian art as the off-brand, the Christian acid rock, I would really like to see Christianity really leading the way, creating the new art forms, creating the next great wave in terms of music or film or television or any aspect of culture, and then saying this is such an aspect of human creativity that the secular groups want to mimic us. Well, why don't we see that? I think we can. I think we have before, and I think we could again if we encourage our people to follow the way of Christ and to subdue the creation for the glory of God. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. This is the Albert Mohler Program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows, Dr. Mohler's daily crosswalk commentary, and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.